shot. Oh, baby, what a play.
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the divisional win against the Los Angeles Chargers and preview Sunday's game versus the Denver Broncos. But mostly, Joe, you were at the Chargers-Chiefs game. It was Chiefs alumni weekend. What was that experience like? Who did you see? Oh,
Jeff, it is always so awesome getting back to Kansas City. We brought our family this time. We recreated a picture that my daughters and I took with my wife, 23 years ago.
That was
On the field at Arrowhead. I wasn't going to be holding anybody. Let's just put it that way. At this point in my life, we recreated it as best we could. But I was squatting, and it took me a little while to get back up after doing that picture. But in all seriousness, we had a blast, and we got to do that. And, Mike Davidson, the Chiefs historian, former equipment manager, came over with Marty from the Browns, was, one of the best equipment managers in the league. He gave us another great tour with my family of the stadium and took us into some places to see that was just really really, my family just so enjoyed, and we were so honored to get to do that. We did that tour with some family of Dana Hughes and J.C. Pearson, defensive back. So, yeah, we had a lot of back and forth going during the tour with some of the friends and family that were there taking the tour. And it was really, really a blast. And Mike is such a wonderful host and just knows so much about that team. And he's so proud to be part of the organization and tells us things about the Hunt family that, we learn something new every time we're with them. So, yeah, so that's how we started out on Saturday. We had some great barbecue. We got to watch, we got to hang out with some players at a Top Golf and swing some golf clubs around. Will Shields hosted an event, first ballot Hall of Famer right there. And it was a blast. And then we got to watch the Phillies win. From KC Power and Light, which is such a great area.
Oh, did you watch it on the big screen there outside?
Watched on the big screen outside while we had dinner. It was great. It was so much fun. It was just such a cool day. And we, Sunday was the game. We got a chance to hang out with Eric Stone Street again and meet some of his great family, which was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so cool. We got to meet his mom and his sister, and he was so accommodating and took pictures with the girls and showed them the two touchdown pictures he has of me with him in the end zone, in the background. He loves that. He loves telling that story about him being in the background of those pictures, in the stands cheering. And, he's such a great guy. And, he was so sweet to my daughters and Jen and his wife got to hang out a little bit and it was really, really neat. And then Dante Hall going into the Hall of Fame. I mean, the Chiefs Hall of Fame, just the X factor, man. The guy was amazing. What a story. If for listeners who don't know it, go listen to his story. Grew up in Hoboken, his mom's total inspiration, had people in tears talking about her as an inspiration and all the coaches that helped get him to where he is. He was awesome. He was awesome. I was so proud to have been a part of that and getting to see that and to hear him. What a great guy. Dick Vermeil was unbelievable. Gave a video speech because he wasn't there in person. And then the Eagles. And then we watched the Eagles game, Jeff. We went back to KC Power and Light and watched the Eagles game
on the big screen again.
And watched them on the big screen. Watched them beat up on Miami, which was great for us, right?
And as a result, now they're the two undefeated teams. Chiefs and the Eagles. Just like last year, we could be headed toward another Joe Valerio Bowl.
I think it's called the Kelce Bowl, actually.
Kelce, especially now. Kelce, before you could say the Kelce or Joe Valerio Bowl, I feel Kelce's fame has maybe jumped a couple levels over Joe Valerio of late.
Just a tad. Well, especially since it'll be called the Kelce Swift Bowl. Because Jason Kelce has a Swift.
DeAndre
and Travis Kelce has a Swift.
Love it. So love it. We'll put a pin in that in case that, that happens. Joe, I also want to encourage listeners. Yeah, Dante Hall not only has a great story to tell of how he was built himself into somebody who would be inducted into the Chiefs Ring of Honor, but also go check out his clips on YouTube. If listeners don't remember or are of a certain age, he was he was called a human joystick for a reason. His moves and jukes on returns were something to watch. Joe, I want to hear more about Will Shields' Top Golf event. I mean, you get a bunch of former NFL players out there. I assume it was pretty competitive.
Listen, NFL players that compete. Joe Montana and Dwight Clark used to compete on raindrops dripping down the window of their dorm room when they were staying in training camp. So yeah, NFL players will compete on everything. So got to hang out with Will. J.J. Burden was there, Steve DeBerg, Stephon Page. First time I'd seen Stephon in a while. Yeah. He was there. I hadn't seen Brian Barker, our punter, for my first 3 years that I long snapped to. Got to see Brian. I went up and I joked with him. Of course I knew who he was, but I went up to him and I said, Brian Barker, right? I didn't recognize you looking upside down through my legs.
So, a good long snapping joke. I like that.
Good dad long snapping joke. But he he got a kick out of that. But it was great to see him. And of course, we had my two punters were there. Louis Aguiar was always there. I mean, God, I could go on and on and on for days about the players who were there and the great friendships that get rekindled whenever everybody gets together. And it's just the Hunt family, man. They just do everything right. They just know how to do things right. And you'd be so surprised, Jeff, at how many meeting players over the years who didn't play in Kansas City and played elsewhere, would tell you that nobody has an ambassador group and an alumni group like the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And it's all, I give it all the credit to Lamar Hunt and his family, and how they've kept that alive throughout the years, having the ambassador group, bringing alums back, making them feel a part of the family. And it's a really, really special day. And, that place is rocking. And, I'm so happy to in Kansas City, just, really relishing in what's going on with this organization right now and how good this team is and has been for a while.
I have two important questions. Who won Topgolf and where did you guys get barbecue?
My daughter Madison won in our group, and I finished last.
Howard Mudd somewhere is nodding along.
He's definitely going that. He goes that tracks. That's what Coach Mudd is saying right now. That tracks. We had great time, great fun at Top Golf, and watching some of these guys' swings. I mean, some of these guys, boy, they must play a lot more golf than I do, Jeff, or I'm just a lineman. I don't know what it is, but we got no Grunny. I know Tim Grunhard has a fantastic golf swing. He's got great touch around the greens. He's very athletic, but he was not there at Topgolf. But we did get to hang out and share some jokes and some laughs at the alumni event. But so Topgolf, I didn't win.
Your barbecue, the other really hard and
barbecue. So we did Q39.
Oh, that's.
So we did Q39. My daughters, it's been a while since they were back. They've been there when they were, we took them there when they were three. We took them there when they were eight. This is only the third time they've been there. So they didn't really remember much about when they were 8 years old and went back. So we took them to Q39 and then we went to Joe's.
Oh, good call for both. Q39 is, Andy Reid loves that place. When Brett Favre, they had a segment a couple years ago when Brett Favre came in to meet Mahomes and Reid, because Reid is coaching both, and he feels understandably there's a lot of parallels, a lot of similarities between the two quarterbacks. That's where they all went, was Q39. So Joe, before we get on to the current Chiefs, I'm curious. You told a cool story that last time not only did you get to meet your former teammates, and it sounds like you did this time, you got to hang out with Cronny and Will Shields, Brian Barker, guys like that. But last time you got to meet Dontari Poe, you know, a more recent Chief, any player kind of new Chiefs or more current players you might have met for the first time that you got to?
Yeah, well, I got to spend a significant amount of time with Dante Hall, which was great. And so got to, and Sylvester Morris, who was kind of mentor, brought him along because, you know, Dante told the story about how, you know, Sylvester was a first round pick. He was big time, you know, and how when Dante slept at his house when he was a rookie, because Dante didn't want to rent anything or buy, he didn't think he was going to even make the team.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, the love that he has for Sylvester Morris and how good of a person Sylvester Morris is really just made me want to meet those two guys. And so I got to spend some time with Sylvester and with Dante, and that to me was really, like, that was really cool, right? To get to spend time with the Hall of Fame honoree who I'd never met before, right? I mean, only That's seen cool. him. And I remember very well watching those games, you know, watching that human joystick out there making things happen. And, you know, that was really cool. Oh, and I got to run in, and I ran into Coach Saunders, Al Saunders.
What a great coach. Phenomenal, just offensive,
unbelievable line. Human being. So we got to share the story. And he didn't know this, believe it or not. We had never shared the story of, he's the reason why it was announced on the Thursday night edition of Monday Night Football that Jennifer and I were having triplets. So no one, Jeff, in my entire family knew that we were even pregnant, let alone having triplets, except for Jen's mom, because Jen had a really troubled pregnancy from the get-go. So we didn't tell anybody. But I had talked to Coach Saunders about the possibility of leaving training camp and coming home to be with Jen, because she was probably going to be getting admitted to the hospital relatively soon, right before I got released by Kansas City. And I had, because I really trusted Coach Saunders to ask his opinion if, like, Coach Schottenheimer would let me leave training camp for a little bit, go be with Jen. And he's like, of course. Dude, he's like, family first. So I forgot to tell him not to say anything on why I needed to go home and see Jen, because I told him that she was having trouble pregnancy and that we were actually having triplets, because he had asked why is everything going awry. And next thing you know, Jen's watching the game with a bunch of Chiefs family that she had over to our house while we were in Chicago. And Lynn Swann announces that we're having triplets, and that Jen is 12 weeks pregnant with triplets. And Coach Saunders had actually told Lynn Swann, and they during announced
like
that
during a production meeting or something. He told him, you think, like,
it must have been something, Jeff. Somewhere along the line, Lynn Swann found out from Coach Saunders that we were having triplets, and next thing you know, I have 37 voice messages on my old block cell phone not from friends and family, from Jen, because she was like, what happened? Like, I get back to the lock, because I had an old brick. This is 1996, right? So I had like a brick, one of those like brick cell phones, you know. And I get back to the locker room, and it's in my duffel bag, right? And I pull my duffel bag out, and there's 37 messages. I'm like, what is going on? I thought something had gone wrong. And it was Jen calling me 37 times to ask me what the heck I just did and how, because her phone blew up. Because no one in my entire family knew, my family or her family, except for her mom, was That's the only crazy. People that knew. So,
and only did they find out she was pregnant, but pregnant with three. That's tripling the and how cool, Joe, to bring it full circle that you got to see Coach Saunders and you got to see him with your triplets all growing up. So very cool.
And that's exactly what we did. I introduced them to them and I said, well, Coach Saunders, here's the triplets that you and Lynn Swann had the pleasure of announcing on Monday Night Football it was happening.
That's so cool. Well, the last of the major pro sports leagues kicks off this week, and Bet Online is your top spot for all your NBA action this season, with MLB postseason, including Joe's Phillies hopefully moving on, NFL and college and NHL in full swing. Bet Online is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport anytime. Head to the Bet Online site today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Joe, before we preview this week's weekend's matchup, talk a little bit about the game that you saw. I heard on your 810 radio spot, which you do every Tuesday morning, encourage listeners to check it out. But I heard that also one of my favorite players back in the day, Steve DeBerg, was there, and he's always been a character. Any good DeBerg stories from when you saw him?
Oh, well, you know, I had to bring up the fact that, and I wanted to ask him if he remembers that when I was a rookie in 1991, fans who've been out to Arrowhead, you know, and in this day and age, you would never imagine an NFL team would have to do this. But if you've been to Arrowhead, you know that there's the stadium, and then I don't even know the distance, a mile, a half a mile, or however far it is across the parking lot is the Chiefs practice facility, right? It's an indoor warehouse-shaped building with now a huge football offices. It's a four-story glass building next to the practice fields. And back then, when I was here, it was just the practice field and a small locker room and weight room, right? Mm-hmm. So we lived at the stadium. Like we practiced at the stadium. Some days we got dressed at the stadium. We had treatment at the stadium. Like everything happened at the stadium. Classrooms were at the stadium, the coaches' offices. And we used to have to drive to the practice facility in cars, dressed in our uniforms, in our cars. It was crazy. So some guys who had pickup trucks would just be like, hey, pile in. We'll just drive over together, right? So most days I would drive over with Tracy Rogers, one of our linebackers. And one day I was sitting in the back of the pickup truck with Steve DeBerg. And we had gotten to know each other at training camp, right, a little bit here and there. And, you know, you're still getting to know your players when you're a rookie and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking at him, and I got so awestruck sitting in the back of the pickup truck with him when I was a rookie, driving over to practice one day in September. I was looking at him, and I said, Steve, I said, did you know that I was in second grade when you started playing in the NFL?
Sure, he loved that. Yeah.
He was like, yeah, thanks a lot, Joe. Now I feel really good about going to practice, right? But we laughed about that on Sunday because he said that when he went to Tampa Bay after the Chiefs, and I guess, you know, Steve played until he was in his mid-40s.
Like, yeah, he was like before Tom Brady, he was one of, I think Warren Moon was up there, but he was one of the oldest quarterbacks to start a game in the history of the NFL. Like he had a super nice long career going into his 40s.
So he said, Joe, he goes, I had a similar experience when I was, I guess it was Tampa, right?
Where in Tampa.
He said, when I was in Tampa, he said, there was a guy, a tight end on the team that wasn't born when he started playing in the NFL.
Wow.
So that's what the one kid said to him. The tight end said, oh, man, Steve, when did you start playing in the NFL? And he said the year. And he goes, do you know that I wasn't even born? And he's like, oh, man. And he's like, Joe, I can't believe it happened to me again. So, Steve is such a great guy. He was telling me how he goes, you know, you got to love people. He goes, I have my faith in humanity is restored. He left a brand new iPad on the plane flying into Kansas City for the game. And he goes to Will's Top Golf event and he realizes that he had lost it. And he called the airport and they had it for him and they saved it for him. And he went back and got it after the Top Golf event.
Oh man, so, that is impressive. Yeah. You think so? That's good to know. There's, I'm sure it was probably somebody, a Midwestern folk flying in for a Chiefs game. That's the kind of
thing. Yeah, probably. And cause he said, Joe, he goes, cause I saw him on Sunday. He goes, oh, sorry, I didn't get to hang out with you guys for too long at the Top Golf thing. I had to get my iPad. So he told me the story. But yeah, Steve's a great guy and a ton of fun. And you know, one of my favorite Steve DeBerg stories, Jeff, he I'll never forget it, on Halloween, he wanted to actually go out on the field during a Halloween game with a Jason goalie mask on.
Uh-huh.
And Coach Schottenheimer wouldn't let him. He caught him running out on the field because he ran out onto the field. We were going out to do the victory formation, mm-hmm. so we had already won the game, and he's running out on the field, and Coach Schottenheimer says, "Steve, I need you for something." And Coach Schottenheimer didn't know he had the mask on, and he had his face away from Coach Schottenheimer, and Coach Schottenheimer kept calling him back, and he kept waving him off. "No, I got it, Coach. Victory formation. I got it." And he's like, "No, Steve, I need you. Come here. I need to tell you something." And he turns around and he's got the Jason mask on, and Coach Schottenheimer lost it. He's like, "Get that off. Take that off." So, yeah, Steve was all about fun. He loved Halloween too. He was a huge Halloween fan.
And what a timely story with Halloween around the corner. Joe, I wanted, as far as the Chargers, we'll gloss over this game, but I'm going to pat ourselves on the back here. There were two players we said to watch. I said to watch Mike Dana, who is having a really good year in a contract year, and yeah, he is really good against the Chargers. He had his fifth, he's played 4 years, and this is his fifth sack against the Chargers for a guy that, you know, doesn't always, in much of his career, has not started. The guy you said to watch was Charles Omenihu. Boy, did that guy have a debut. He batted a pass that led to kind of the game-changing interception by Snead. You know, yeah, the Chargers were driving, and they did come close to scoring after that. And he also had a snack. He also had a sack, not a snack. He had a snack.
Well, he probably had some snacks too. But
He's a pretty big guy. He showed his length, so you know he's got to have a lot of protein to fill that large frame. But Joe, so this team already, you know, it's funny. I thought the 49ers early in the season were looking like the best team in football. They've now lost two in a row. I really think the Chiefs are now the best team. I mean, they lost one game, which is real fluky. I mean, Chris Jones and Travis Kelce, two of the best players, didn't play. Kadarius Toney had, you know, kind of an unthinkable game that I can't imagine would happen again. And they lost to a very good Detroit Lions team. Now this Chiefs team adds Omenihu, you know, look out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, buddy. I think he's going to be a nice to use a Dante Hall term. He's going to be an X factor, I think, for this defense if they can learn, you know, and Coach Spags learns the right way to use them. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about Mike Dana too. You nailed that one, bud. I think we nailed the scores too. I had 27-10 as my prediction, and it was 31-17. So it was just like basically one less score per team, but about even on the spread. So I was excited about that. As I was watching the game, I was trying to remember. I always keep a notepad when we do the pod. I write down all the scores that you and I predict. And I was thinking as the game was going, I was like, I think my little notepad is going to be pretty close. And it was so funny because then we go watch the Eagles game and they win by the same exact score.
Yeah, yeah.
31-17 against the Dolphins. And that was a big win. And I'll tell you, Jeff, one of the funniest things, I was thinking about you, and it just got so crazy. I wanted to text you while it was going on, but it was just such a whirlwind of a day. But Jen is sitting, we were sitting next to each other for most of the game, and standing, I should say. I don't think of the 4.5 hours that I was at that game, I think I sat for 15 minutes for the entire game. Because we were, you know, we had the big event for Dante up in the club suite, but then Jen and I and the family, we love being in I don't particularly like watching games in suites, to be honest. Mm-hmm. No offense to anybody who listens who has suites. They're really fun, and I do, but I love being out.
And we do have a lot of listeners who have suites. The socioeconomic stats for this pod are really, yes, we have some high rollers who listen to this
pod. But we were sitting right on like the 45-yard line. We had fantastic seats. First thing Jen says to me is, "Why do they never call Juwan Taylor offsides?" First thing she said to me, she picked up on it right away. Because when you're at the game and you're on the 50-yard line and the team's going by you, like offensively, right? And you see them like very even. She said to me, "Joe, why don't they call that?" I said, "Well, you know, they have been." He was doing it again. Like,
really?
He was, yeah. And it was so obvious during the game. And now Jen knows football. I'm not trying to pull the whole female
card thing.
She really knows football. So it wasn't like she was being totally naive about it or anything. She really knows the game. But she was like, he's like jumping every time. And I started to watch him. Like, you know what? He kind of is. It's almost like they've stopped calling it, though. It's so weird. Because I don't think he was doing anything different in this game than he had done in the past. And they didn't even think about blowing the whistle on
it. You know, I think that's on the Chargers coaching staff. If I, you know, like I would think the opponent I'm the opposing coach, you're in the ref's ear before the game, during the game, you're like, watch, you know, he's been going offside, you know. And who's to say maybe they didn't, but you think you keep emphasizing. You mentioned how that was something, you know, Coach Schottenheimer used to do, that he'd always remind the refs about those type of things, you know, to get.
Yeah.
But very interesting to hear that, Joe. So you watched it. Sounds like you watched some of it, like the seats that you got through the Chiefs, some of it through that club suite with Dante Hall, and some of it at Eric Stone Street's suite.
We watched the whole game from the stands. The kickoff was at 3:25 Central Time. The Dante celebration ended around 2:30.
Gotcha.
And then we took a quick run up to Eric's suite, and we spent about a half an hour with him before kickoff. And then at about 3:10, 3:15, we headed down to our seats right underneath Taylor Swift. So I knew we had to mention that. We had to bring it up. So my daughters were very excited. Jen was very excited. We got to see Taylor. Got some great pictures. She photobombed a picture of us. We were taking a selfie. My daughter was at the end of the row, that she was taking a selfie of us at the game. And and if you zoom in on the picture, you could see Taylor leaning out the window.
Oh,
she was
that clapping. Is cool. That
obviously is not cool. Photobombing, but my daughter, of course, posted on Instagram, "Hey, look, Taylor Swift just photobombed our picture."
That is awesome. That is hilarious.
So yeah, so we had a lot of fun with that, and everybody. I'm telling you, every time Travis did something, the whole section around there turned and looked up. It was crazy. It was so funny. And you couldn't imagine the number of people that we were going to start counting them, the number of people taking pictures of Taylor Swift in the suite, like turned around taking pictures. It was really funny, but it was a nice distraction for the game and all in good fun.
That's a great story. Joe, moving on to this weekend's game, Sunday's game, the Chiefs are going for 17 in a row versus the Denver Broncos. Joe, The Chiefs are so much better than the Denver Broncos game. Than the Denver Broncos, I think they win. I think it's actually going to be a little bit tough, though. I think it's going to be a tough game. It's a divisional game. I think this is a trap game. You know, they beat the Chargers, who are the more talented team. Then they have to go to Germany to play the really talented Dolphins and Tyreek Hill, and then a bye week. This is classic trap game. And I also think it's a little tough to play an opponent twice in 3 weeks. Joe, do you agree?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. It's tough to play them in that short space. It's tough enough to beat a team twice during the season, no matter how good or bad either team is, right? It's still hard to beat somebody twice. This is the NFL. All the players are good. All the coaches are good. But to condense it within 3 weeks makes it even weirder and even harder to do. Plus, I think compounding the issue, Jeff, is I think this Broncos team is literally on its last leg. Like, this is a last ditch effort for Sean Payton. He's got some digging out to do, right? He had that rough thing with Nathaniel Hackett, right? He didn't come off well out of retirement to coach the Broncos. And then he makes that Nathaniel Hackett comment, and he just didn't start out well. And then this dumpster fire of a team happens, the huge signing of, I mean, there have been so many stats and data about like how much they gave up for both Sean Payton and for Russell Wilson. And look, and this is where they are, right? I don't have any of that at my fingertips at this point, but I know there's a lot of weird internet stuff going around where it's like, you know, the team has spent X millions of dollars and this is the team they have, right? And they've given up so much to have these two guys, right? One at quarterback and one at coach. And I just think their back is so against the wall right now. So they're going to be desperate, and they're going to pull out all the stops to try to salvage, you know, some dignity out of the season, and to do it against the Chiefs at home at Mile High. Obviously could be a little bit of redemption. So I agree with you. I think it's not going to be easy. There's something, though, telling me, I want to get my score prediction out there, something telling me this game's going to end up like 28-6. I think the Broncos are going to put up a fight, but I think Andy's going to want to have this team fine-tuned for this game so that they can get ready for Miami. They got a big trip coming up to Germany. They got the bye week, and then they got the Eagles, right? And you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, the Chiefs being the best team in the NFL. You got to look at what the Eagles, that was a big test for the Eagles this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, you know, as an Eagles fan too, growing up here in Philly, like I was happy with that win because I didn't think that the Eagles team was that good this year until I watched them play this Sunday. I see what they have now. AJ Brown is fantastic. Their line is playing well. Their defense looked really good against the Dolphins. So,
and much like the Chiefs, I mean, they've been kind of sluggish at times.
Yeah, good word.
Six and one is 6-1. I mean, like it just shows you the Monday night game. You know, the Vikings without Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison was gone some time, beat the Niners. I mean, beating anybody on the road at home, it's tough in the NFL to go 6-1. Joe, I'm going. You know, I think it's going to be a dogfight Sunday. I'm going Chiefs 2016 over the Broncos. And, you know, the other thing to watch is I think the Broncos, again, I just think the talent disparity is too strong for the Broncos to win. But I think they've actually gotten better the last couple of weeks. Their defense looks very good against the Chiefs. They beat, you know, the Packers aren't a great team this year. They still beat the Packers, so they're coming off two kind of solid performances. And I'm curious to see what goes on with the they actually have a couple good backs. They have McLaughlin, they have Javonte Williams, who's getting healthier. They have Samaje Perine. And the Chiefs have shown, look, the Chiefs defense is looking amazing, and that's the story of this year, that they have this good a defense to go along with Mahomes. The run defense, I want to check that out. There were a couple cracks against the Chargers. I want to see if I'm expecting the Broncos to try and have some success there.
Yeah, I Jeff, I agree with you, man. I think you're absolutely right. This is going to be a dogfight. You know, you talk about it all the time, right? On our pod. Sometimes it's the team that needs it more. You know, sometimes it's the team that has more to win or more to lose, right? And I just think this Broncos team has so much to lose.
Yeah.
If they don't pull this out, because they've got a heck of a schedule coming up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they got after this game, they've got Buffalo, Minnesota, who we know is one of the best bad teams in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Cleveland, who puts up a fight every time. Then they've got the Chargers twice. They've got Detroit.
Wow.
Like this Broncos team, if they don't win this game and salvage something, it's
gonna get good off a cliff. Yeah.
They may not win another. If they don't do something against Kansas City or Buffalo, they may not win another game. And I think, you know, that's my fear is I'm going to pull the Jeff Fedotin theory that, you know, sometimes it's the team puts up the best fight that has the most to lose or and not even sometimes the most to gain.
Well said. Well, I quickly say it's well said because anytime
that's your my theory.
Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Go Chiefs!